Freeman. Opening prayer, Jerry White. Our speaker this morning, Brother Henry Davis, Jr. Sermon title, Get Out of the Boat and Walk. That's Get Out of the Boat and Walk. All right. Scripture is Matthew 14, verse 22 through 29. Scripture reader is Nick Ciamantero. Presiding at the Lord's table, Charles Hopkins, Jr., and Wiley Edwards. Closing prayer, Vince Ciamantero. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for the worship service and for every opportunity, Father, that we have to serve Thee. Father, we're mindful of those of our number who are sick. We're thankful, Father, for those who are able to be with us today. Continue, Father, to watch over them as well. Be with us, Father, in all of our endeavors that are for good. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. One other note, as I looked up, I saw a young lady back visiting with us today. Sister Rose Oliver is here. We're glad to have you with us, Rose. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your boy turned to hymn books at page 418. 418. Sing altar. You may have your worldly pleasures, your silver and your gold. You may pile up all the riches that this old world can hold, but I'd rather have my Savior and his infirmity stand. For I want to be ready to be here in a glory land. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. For I want to be more like him and do his blessed command. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory land. You may talk about your riches, your diamonds, and your pearls. You may gain the wealth or ages of this and all the world. But the Savior is more precious. With him I'll take my stand. For I want to be ready to meet him in a glory land. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. For I want to be more like him and to his blessed man. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory land. There's one thing I can boast of, salvation from the cross. I'm heir to mountain glory, my Father owns it all. That is why I'm shouting happy and go at his command. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory. I want to be ready to meet him by and by. I want to be ready to meet him in the sky. I want to be more like him and do his best of him. For I want to be ready to meet him in that glory. Before we go and God in prayer this morning, please turn to hymn books page 595. 595. Sing all for it.
Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace from the stars. Earth has filled me lifted
Let us bow in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you that we have this beautiful place that we are in right now to be able to sing praises to your name, to be able to listen to your words of wisdom, to be able to be enlightened of your word. For we know, Father, your word is our guide to heaven. Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this earth, who died such a cruel and awful death, who rose again that we might have eternal life with you. Father, we thank you that we have such wonderful elders that are shepherding over us here. We ask that you give them a double blessing for the work that they do, for their job is certainly not easy to do. Father, we ask that you watch over Hank as he delivers our message this morning. We ask that you guide him and come into his words as he speaks from your word. Father, we ask that you watch over the leaders of this nation. We ask that you give them the wisdom to be able to guide this nation as you see fit. Father, watch over those in the congregation who are sick at this time. If it be your will, bring them back to health so that they may be with us once again for we do indeed miss them in our family. For all these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we partake in the Lord's Supper this morning, please turn your hymnbook to page 296. 296. Sing verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4.
On a hill. Thank you.
This is a specific time we have to remember Christ Jesus, to remember him, and to remember what he did for each and every one of us. A time to remember how much he loved the world. The Bible reads in Romans chapter 5, verses 8, that God demonstrated how much he loved us by allowing his son to go to the cross and die for the remissions of our sins. We have before us two emblems, the bread of life that commemorates his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we have the cup of salvation that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. O kind and merciful Father, once again you have offered the invitation to salvation to all who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for our sins. We are grateful and we are so thankful to have this privilege to partake of this bread that represents his body. For it is in his name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come together today, Heavenly Father, on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father. We come together, Heavenly Father, to partake of this, of the Lord's Supper, Heavenly Father. To know, Heavenly Father, that we know that man could not take thy son, take thy son's life. He had to be willing to give his life, Heavenly Father, and to know and to be able to appreciate that love, Heavenly Father, a love that was so great that he was willing to give his life for a world that was not deserving, Heavenly Father, a world that was so full of sin, to know that he was pure, that he was without sin, Heavenly Father. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we're about to partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents thy son's precious blood, that we will clear our minds, Heavenly Father, that we will reflect back to that sacrifice, what it meant to each and every one of us, and that we'll partake of this fruit of the vine in a way and manner that will be pleasing in thy sight. For this we ask for in thy son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
At this time, if anyone was inadvertently overlooked on partaking of the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. We have another commandment, and that is to give back unto God the first fruits of our labor as He has prospered us to do so. We now have the privilege to give. Let us give thanks. We are grateful and so thankful, Father, for all of the ways and the means that you provide for each and every living soul. From the beginning of time to this present moment, we thank you, Father, for all of the abilities that you give each and every one of us in mankind to go about our way and provide for each and every one of us in our families. We are grateful and so thankful to give back in support of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we thank you in His name. Amen.
If you would, mark your hymn books to page 572. 572, that will be our song of encouragement this morning. After marking that, please turn to page 838. 838. See verses 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. I'd like to add all the hands.
To Him and thy horn, thy way, where the soul ever fell. My heart is
I'm Scripture reading for this morning's sermon will take place from the book of Matthew chapter 14 and in verses 22 through 29. That's the New Testament book of Matthew chapter 14 and verses 22 through 29. And I'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. Matthew 14:22 through 29. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And now our brother Hank Davis and his sermon is titled, "Get Out of the Boat and Walk."
Good morning, church. It's always good to be able, and it's a blessing to be able to be with you this morning, to be in our right mind, to have the ability to be able to have the freedom to assemble in the house of the Lord this morning, be able to fellowship, worship, and praise the holy name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And as always, it's good to see each and every one of you, and I just have to be honest with you this morning and say that I almost had to change the name of my sermon to Get Out of the Boat and Walk to Get Out the House and Shovel, because I had no idea that I was going to walk into that. So that was a surprise. But again, welcome to Michigan. If you are visiting with us this morning, we'll let you know that you are a welcome guest. We are most pleased that you have chosen to join us in worship today, and we pray that you find our service unto the Lord both edifying and encouraging and uplifting to you. And we ask that at the end of service that you don't rush off, but that you please allow us an opportunity to meet you. And always, it's an honor and it is a privilege to be able to stand for you before you and bring forth the Lord's word. To paraphrase Peter, 1 Peter 5 and 14, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. So this week, we are about to embark on, later on this week, we're about to embark upon a time of the year that we call holiday season. We kick off the holiday season later this week, if you will, with Thanksgiving. Now, when most people think of Thanksgiving, they think of family and eating turkey or maybe even watching football. And if you're a Lions fan, you're thinking about words you're going to have to ask forgiveness for while watching the game. However, besides that, it's supposed to be a moment where we reflect on what we are truly thankful for. Thus, the reason why we feast with our loved ones. We are demonstrating our thankfulness. We are thankful for the food. We are thankful for family. We're thankful for love and togetherness and fellowship. Things that just for just a couple of years ago, we had taken sadly for granted. However, there are a multitude of things that we can be thankful for, our lives, the clothes on our back, the ability to be able to freely worship God. The list is countless to the things an individual can be thankful for. However, as believers of Christ, Thanksgiving, or as the Bible coins it sometimes, and even when we say it, giving thanks, is not just regulated to the last Thursday in November, nor as Christians are we supposed to just simply go about our lives and say, oh, thank goodness, or just simply to thank our lucky stars. No, we are to always, always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's in Ephesians 5 and 20. And we are to rejoice always, pray continually, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Why? Because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning. That's in James 1 through 17. So on this day and every day, we are to give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. That's in Psalms 136 and 1. So we are to give thanks as we come across this holiday season. We are to continually to give thanks before, during, and after the holiday season, especially if you're going to watch the Lions or some of our characters, Michigan, right? So, but moving on. So Scripture clearly tells us that we are to give thanks to God in all circumstances, not just the favorable ones for us. We've all had our own personal storms, if you will, that we had to weather. It's during those times when our faith is truly tested. It's during those times when, as Christians, we pray the loudest and the longest. When things are going wrong, for we can feel the waves of the tempestuous sea of despair crashing over the bow of our personal lifeboats, if you will. When our situations will have us feeling that there is no other way out. You know, my grandmother used to say to me, I remember I would say, could come to her sometimes and tell her about things I may be going on in my life, and she would say, listen, she said, don't worry. She said, God can make a way out of no way. That would be her way of telling me to keep the faith. That would be her way of telling me to keep my eyes on the Lord and trust him. And instead of sinking into our own personal lifeboat on that proverbial sea of despair, we have to continue to look to Jesus. In other words, we have to get out of our boat and start walking towards him. So we want to get into the scriptures a little bit this morning. So when we look at the scriptures, it says, we read that the Apostle Peter did exactly that. We see that prior to the event that we read in Matthew, prior to that event of Peter walking on the water, we go to Matthew 14. We'll give it a little bit of context on what we're saying here. When we move to Matthew 14, 13 to 21, we see that we come across the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. Scriptures tells us that after Jesus had heard about the death of John the Baptist, that he had crossed the Sea of Galilee to go to a place where he could be alone. But the crowds found him, and they found out and followed him on foot from the towns. And Jesus got out of the boat where he was at. He saw the large crowds. He felt sorry for them, and he healed everyone that was sick. So what Jesus did was he went to so he could be alone, so he could pray. And the crowds followed him. He had compassion for them. So he healed them and he taught them. And the rest of the scriptures go that this went on through the evening that he did this. And that the apostles was like, it's getting late. Let them go home and let them get something to eat. And Jesus said, let's just feed them. And we go and we see the first miracle that we see in this passage, where he takes the loaves and the fishes and he feeds the 5,000. Which brings us to this morning's text, the miracle of Jesus walking on water. So the passage of scripture is chronicled. This passage of scripture is also chronicled in not just in Matthew 14, but it's in Mark 6, 45 and 52, and John 15 through 21. But if we go back to the scriptures, it says that all the accounts of this event, all three of these books of the Bible, clearly state that Jesus walked on water. However, only in the book of Matthew does it reference Peter leaving the boat. And I wondered about that. Many scholars believe that Matthew actually witnessed Peter walking while the other apostles were absolutely fixated on Christ, which I can see that where when you look at the context of what has happened here, where Jesus sent his apostles off. Okay, he sent them off on the boat. He told them to go ahead and go without him. He stayed until the evening, and then he went up to the mountain to pray. But we want to look at, when we look at this particular piece of scripture where it says the apostles were fixated on Christ, then we have to look at two things. Number one, look at the fear of the common man of the apostles. Now keep in mind, the apostles are seeing some great things from Jesus Christ, but they were no different than you or I. They were working people. They were working people. They were working men. So they're out here on this boat, and they're fearful. They see Jesus walking on water, but they know that they left Jesus at the shore. You also got to look at the personality of Peter. Peter the apostle. What do we know about Peter? We know that Peter had a bold personality. This is the same Peter that told Jesus, you surely wouldn't die. And he said, Jesus told him, get behind me, Satan. This is the same Peter that cut the ear off of the Roman, cut a piece of the ear off of the Roman soldier as he tried to take Jesus Christ. This is the same Peter that Jesus said to him, to feed my sheep, feed my lamb. This is that bold personality of Peter. So this falls right into line with his personality. And again, scholars believe that Matthew may have actually witnessed Peter getting out the boat. So let me just back up a little bit. So scriptures tells us that Jesus told the apostles again to get back in the boat and go across the lake while he sent the crowd off and went into the mountain to pray. So this is a lesson for us on what Jesus did. He said, you know, I started the lesson that we have to pray without ceasing. It doesn't matter what Jesus had to do. His purpose for going over there in the first place was to pray, and nothing was going to stop him from praying. We have to understand that no matter what we're doing in life and things are going to happen in our life, we need to take the same time that we take to do everything else. We need to make sure that we take that time and spend that time with God on a daily basis. We see Jesus cross the lake. We see him ready to go up into the mountain. He took care of the people, but he sent his apostles off. He went up into that mountain and he prayed. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to find that time on a daily basis. That's our lesson, to pray on a daily basis without ceasing. So by the time the boat was a long way off from the shore, it was going against the wind, and the wind was being tossed around the waves. A little while before the morning, Jesus came walking on the water towards the disciples. And when they saw him, they thought they had saw a ghost. Now I want us to kind of put ourselves, if we can, in that same situation. We know we've left somebody, okay, on the shore. And we're out here and the water is bad and everything. And we see somebody in the middle of the water, in the middle of the lake, and they're walking towards us. I would pretty much feel like that was a ghost too. I don't know about you, but I'm like, what is that and what is it doing coming towards us? You know, just think about this in our human mindset. Okay? They were terrified. Rightfully so. They started screaming. Rightfully so. At once Jesus told them, hey, don't worry, don't worry. It is me, it's Jesus. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So just to kind of put yourself there, they're afraid. And Peter, with his bold personality, said, look, if it's really you, if it's really you, then tell me to come to the water. Tell me to come out there to you, if it's really you. Now, Peter's closer to Christ at this time. This, again, the boldness of Peter. They thought they had left Jesus at the shoreline, but he's a long way off. Surely, that couldn't be him. Later, you know, in Scripture, we understand that this Peter kind of gave us another lesson here when he said, if it's you, prove it. Now, see, people say, oh, you're not supposed to test God. On the contrary, when we go to 1 John 4:1-3, this is actually after this event, but it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world by this, you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. In this case, Jesus will confess himself. It is I. In our case, today, how are we supposed to test the spirits? We're supposed to study the word. We're supposed to know the truth. We're supposed to know the truth so the truth can set us free. That's John 8:32. So that no one can just say anything. We should be able to go right to Scripture. We should be able to pray about it and understand and test what is being told to us is the truth. In this case, Jesus said, and he had shown by the many miracles that he had already seen and shown to his apostles that it was he. But here is Peter once again, being who he is, saying, you prove it. And he said, well, come out to me. Come out and walk to me. But this was Jesus. And what he did, he told Peter again to come on. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water towards him. But look what happens next. When Peter saw how strong the wind was, he was afraid, and he started sinking. So before he could start sinking, he did start walking, right? Scripture said he did take a step. He had his eyes fixed on Jesus. Then he started looking around. Okay, and again, I want to make sure that we humanize Peter here, because you or I doing the same thing, understanding that Peter was a fisherman, so he understood the dangers of the water. So he's out here walking on water. And he's like, I'm walking on water. I'm walking on water. Okay, and who else wouldn't do that? And then he starts to sink. Now he starts to panic. And now he starts to panic. So what he says, Lord, save me, he shouts out. Passage of Scripture is very relatable to us, and it should be, because we can boldly do what Peter did. We can boldly speak and be ambitious about our faith. We can proudly say, Lord, I trust you. Your will be done. I take my hands off of it, Lord. You got it. Until it don't happen when we think it should happen, right? Then all of a sudden we start looking around. God's got this. God's got this. God ain't got this. Yes, he does. But see, he's not in our time. So what do? We cry out, Lord, where are you? Save me. This is what Peter shows us here, okay? However, when you start looking at our situation, we get fixated on what happens in our lives, and we take our eyes off of Jesus, and we begin to sink. And once Jesus reached out his hand, he helped Peter, and he said, you surely don't have much faith. Ye of your little faith, why do you doubt? And in Peter's case, that's a very good question. And in our case, it's a very good question, too. Why? Because Peter had seen the great miracles. We had just chronicled the three miracles that he saw prior to this. The walking on the water, the turning the fishes and the loaves, the healing of the people. the 5,000 plus people, the healing of those that he came to see when he came over there to pray. Peter had witnessed this with his two eyes. These were truly acts of God that Peter saw with his own two eyes. So you think about the fact, why would he doubt? And then when it comes to us, why would we doubt too? We know that there's things that's going on in each and every one of our lives that we had no way we was going to get out of it. And Jesus was there. And yet the next situation comes up, and we'll be the first one, I don't know how we're going to do this. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. We have seen this. We have seen it in our lives. This is why. This is why when Peter illustrates the human condition of doubt, this is why prayer, and as I started this lesson, giving thanks is so important. Why? Because it constantly reminds us of how good and mighty our Lord and Savior is. What he has done for us, how he has made a way out of no way for us, and how he helps us daily to increase our faith, keep our eyes on Jesus, and help us to step out of our own personal lifeboat and walk. When Jesus and Peter got into the boat, the wind died down. The men in the boat worshiped Jesus and said, "You really are the Son of God." So fear turned into true belief, which turned into true worship. Hebrews 11 and 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Matthew 17 and 20 says, "If you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains." Now, I want to make it clear. I looked this up. The faith the size of a mustard seed. So does that mean we're supposed to have small faith? No. If you look at the size of a mustard seed, you know what a mustard seed does? It grows into a great tree. So what it's talking about, that this is an opportunity for your faith to increase simply by taking the next step. You know, Peter took the next step to get out the boat and onto the water. He was doing just fine. And when he focused on the next step, he got into trouble. And when he lost sight of the next step, that's when Jesus had to save him. What is our next steps? What is the next step that the Lord has for us? We have to keep our eyes on him. You know, faith unleashes a supernatural power. Peter did not experience the supernatural power of God that allowed him to walk on water until he trusted. Until he trusted as evidence by his actions. As he trusted with evidence by his actions. We have scripture that says faith without works is dead. See, we keep on thinking the things that happen to us is in the natural, but when we ask God to step in, this is how things happen, because we don't have to always know our logic, our finite logic. It doesn't have to be that way. When we ask God and we walk with him on faith, anything can happen. As the scripture says, we can move mountains. So the question is there anything that we need to do differently to increase our faith? Because we need to understand that when we fear and when we have fear, you know what we do? We sink. We sink. When Peter had faith, he walked on water. When he had fear, he sank in the water. The same is true for us. Fear will sink us. If there's any fear that's gripping our lives right now, we need to control it. And we have to, and is it controlling our decision making? We need to think about that. Jesus saves us from many things. In this instance, Jesus saved Peter from drowning. And when things, Jesus saved Peter from drowning. So we have to ask ourselves, and I know many of us have this testimony, what has Jesus saved us from? I could spend another hour telling you what he saved me from. And I'm sure a lot of us have that same story. A little faith is better than no faith. The Lord spoke to Peter's little faith. This means that he was capable of even greater faith. So are we. These circumstances and situations, we're going to have them. Last time I had an opportunity to talk to you all, I said, don't forsake God. This is the reason why. Because as long as we keep our eye on him, things can happen. You can choose to worry or worship. In an instant, the men went from worrying about their circumstances to worshiping Christ. He saved them. Exactly. He saved all of us. I've said this once, I'll say it again. If you're going to worry, don't pray. If you're going to pray, don't worry. Keep your eyes on Jesus and step out the boat. and walk. Step out the boat and walk. That's my lesson this morning. So if you are here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. What must I do to be saved? Understand that God has already done his part by sending his son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for the remission of sin, that whoever shall believe and be baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, is very simple. You've heard his word. This is his word. Believe in his word, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is Lord, be baptized and come out the water to walk in the newness of life, and God then adds you to his church. That's Acts 2:47, not by vote or decision of men, but God alone adds you to his church. And if you are a Christian and you have strayed away for whatever reason, remember Jesus would ask you, he would ask you, why do you doubt? In other words, what is it going to take? I've been there with you. I've been there for you. Keep your eyes on me if Jesus was talking. Don't concern yourself with your circumstances. Don't worry about them. Step out that boat of faith and walk. And walk. The Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate you in return. Think about how good he has been to each and every one of us. Just think about that. Just think about the things we want to truly be thankful for. You know, not just this holiday season, but forever. If you are in need of prayer, understand that prayer always works. It always works. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Get out of the boat and walk. Whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you come forward and make it known as together we stand to sing the song of invitation.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, all to him I give.
I surrender all.